produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to our program, God Can, presented by Pastor Stanley Moodley, Senior Pastor at Faith Center Ministries International. This program will give you practical tips and foundational biblical principles to propel your life to new heights with Jesus Christ. Listen in now with your host, Pastor Stanley Moodley.
So this morning, I'm going to talk this next few weeks on the subject of, as I do almost every year, the Passion of the Christ. As our theme for the year is, it is time to seek the Lord. And I believe at this time of the year, we're just about three Sundays away from the Resurrection Sunday. And I thought this is the apt time for us to focus a little more on the cross of the Christ. I want us to know today that we need to understand the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to the earth. The centrality of the cross, the fact that the cross became the Christian symbol, and that Christians stubbornly refused, in spite of the ridicule, to discard it in favor of something less offensive, can have only one explanation. It means that the centrality of the cross originated in the mind of Jesus Christ himself. It was out of loyalty to him that his followers clung so doggedly to the sign of the cross, the passion of the Christ, the road to the Passover, and the road that leads to Calvary. And I want us to know today, as we look to God's word, the famous golden text that we want to teach our children and the world to know, the passion of the Christ originated from this text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe today, out of this text, comes the passion of the Son of the Most High God. Christ is to us just what his cross is. Christ is to us just what his cross is. What does his cross mean to you? All that Christ was in heaven or on earth was put into what he did there on the cross. I repeat, is to us just what is the cross. You do not understand Christ till you understand the cross. You don't understand Christ until you understand the cross. Amen. You wouldn't know Jesus as your personal Savior if you do not know the cross. It is the cross, the road that led to Calvary. Dwight L. Moody told of a young man who did not want to serve in Napoleon Bonaparte's army. When he was drafted, a friend volunteered to go in his place. The substitution was made, and sometime later, the surrogate was killed in battle. However, the same young man was, through a clerical error, drafted again. "You cannot take me," he told the startled officers. "I am dead. I died on the battlefield." They argued that they could see him standing right in front of them, but he insisted they look on the roll to find the record of his death. Sure enough, there on the roll was the man's name, with another name written beside it. The case finally went to the emperor himself. After examining the evidence, Napoleon said, "Through a surrogate, this man has not only fought, but has died in his country's service. No man can die more than once. Therefore, the law has no claim on him." Church, I want us to know today that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, went to the cross to bear the penalty that rightfully belongs to us. He died in our place, and through him, our names are written in the book with his name written beside ours. He died in our place. And because he died in our place, we have what John 3:16 tells us, eternal life, because God so loved. That's the passion of the Christ. And so we ask ourselves today, why is this day different from all others? Why will hundreds of millions of people have such passion about the passion? About the passion of the Christ, the one who gave his life. To answer that question, you have to answer three basic questions. You have to answer the who question, the why question, and the what question. Who, why, and what? Those questions are raised and answered by a man named Matthew, who wrote the gospel primarily for Jews to force them to deal with this man named Jesus Christ. And you will find the story depicted for us in Matthew's gospel, chapter 27. If you read from verses 1, go right through to verse 60 onwards. And I want us to know today that there are, in essence, three statements that answer those three questions. First of all, we deal with the who of Christ. Who is Christ? You need to ask yourself this question today. Who is Christ to me? What is the significance of the who in the Christ? Jesus has died. The beating, scourging, torturing, and crucifying is over. He has literally breathed his last breath, as Matthew 27:50 puts it from the Message Bible. But Jesus, again crying out loudly, breathed his last breath. Then an incredible thing took place. A Roman centurion and some of his guards, they were hardened warriors who had coldly witnessed and executed thousands of crucifixions without battling an eye. With hearts hard as steel and souls cold as ice, make a startling confession. The Roman soldiers and the other soldiers of the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said in Matthew 27, verse 54, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Truly, this is the Son of God. In another version, it says, "Truly, this was the Son of God," according to the New King James Version. Church, I want us to know, whether knowingly or unknowingly, these soldiers had hit on a key issue. If Jesus was just another man, then this was just another death. But if Jesus was more than a man, if he was the Son of God, or to the Jews, the Jewish Messiah, and there has never been another death like this. Prior to this, they have conducted many crucifixions. But when it came to this, the question, who is Jesus to you? To the Roman soldiers that nailed him to the cross, Jesus was truly the Son of God. Could you declare today that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God? You know the famous question in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, when you read from verse number 13, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom sayest thou that I am?" Some said, "Thou art just a prophet." Some said, "Thou art Isaiah." Some said, "Thou art John the Baptist, raised from the dead." But Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Church, who is Jesus to you? If Jesus was just another man, then this was just another death. But if Jesus was more than a man, if he was the Son of God, or to the Jews, the Jewish Messiah, then there has never been another death like it. So we must raise the question, who was the Christ? How do we determine his identity? There's a set of prophetic fingerprints in the Old Testament which establishes to an unbelievable degree of certainty that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God and the Messiah. These prophecies form a figurative fingerprint that only the Messiah would be able to match. Now, the word Messiah means anointed one. The name Christ is the Greek equivalent of the word Messiah. The name Christ literally means Jesus the Messiah. The Old Testament is filled with hundreds of prophecies of who this Messiah would be. I am just going to give you a few references in the Word of the Lord as to who the Messiah would be. Yes, Christ is the Anointed One. Christ is the Messiah. And church, as we look to the word of the Lord today, Genesis 49 verse 10 says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, and Shiloh comes." Shiloh was another title for the Messiah. And this prophecy states that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. Matthew 1:3 tells us that Jesus was indeed descended from the tribe of Judah through his father Joseph. Isaiah 11:1 prophesied that the Messiah would come from the family of David. As the word declares, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. Luke 3:31 tells us that Jesus was descended from the family of David through his mother Mary. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Hallelujah, church. Isn't the Bible is such an amazing book? We have before and after. We have prophecy and fulfillment. We have backups. Every word in this book can be backed up. Hallelujah. Every prophecy in the Old Testament can be backed up by the declaration of the fulfillment of the prophecy. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 to 25 tells us that Jesus was indeed born of the Virgin Mary. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, Though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7 tells us that Jesus was indeed born in Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing that we have the fulfillment of the declaration or the prophecies of the Old Testament? In Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, predicted the price of the betrayal would be 30 pieces of silver. And the word of the Lord declares in Zechariah 11, 12, Message Bible, and I addressed them, pay me what you think I am worth. They paid me an insulting sum, counting out 30 silver coins. Matthew 26, 15 gives us the fulfillment. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Psalms 22, 16 predicted that his hands and feet would be pierced. They pierced my hands and my feet. And they were when he was crucified. Incidentally, this prophecy was 700 years before the crucifixion had been invented. In Isaiah 53, 12 said that he would be killed along with criminals, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he was, according to Matthew 27, 38, in that same verse, Isaiah also predicted that he was would ask God to forgive those who would kill him. Isaiah 53 tells us, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us. He did that according to Luke 23, 34. I have given you only 8 prophecies, and all of them was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. If you have taken those scriptures down this morning, you will discover the who of the Christ. Who is Christ to us? And can I say this morning, church, he is the perfect Son of God. He is our Savior. Is my Lord and my King. Someone did the math and figured out the probability of just 8 prophecies being fulfilled by one man is 1 chance in 100 million billion. Now, to get this in your mind, if you took this many silver, they would cover the state. And as we look at it, church, if you marked this one silver that they betrayed Jesus Christ, as the Bible tells us, we read the Message version of this in the Old Testament, and they called it dirty or insulting price for Jesus. Do you think it's worth 30 pieces of silver? Church, I want us to know today, we cannot fathom the worth of an almighty God who gave his life on the cross for us. Now, there are some 300 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled every one of them. I've just given you 8 this morning. 300 prophecies concerning the Messiah. And we will get to know more about this in the next few weeks as we elaborate on the passion of the Christ. When we begin to fully understand the power there is in the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was, who is, and who will be, church, there is none like him. There will be none like him, because he still is the Alpha and the Omega. He still is the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. But church, I want us to know today, you can rejoice in the presence of God. Who is Christ to you? Who is Christ to me? I want you to know that Christ to me is my Savior. He has forgiven me of my sin. He has taken a filthy sinner such as I and died for me on the cross. And that makes him my Savior, my Lord, and my King. Church, I worship him. I worship him. The overwhelming evidence is Jesus the Christ was the Messiah, the true Son of God. The 300 prophecies in the Old Testament fulfills that and makes it clear to us today that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the one who gave his life. Secondly, we ask ourselves, why did he die? Why would the Messiah die? The Son of God, why would he die? And not only that, die such a bloody, violent death. For those of you who have seen the Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson's version, I was told that this movie does not do justice to the actual crucifixion that took place on that day. A gruesome death. Isaiah 52:14 says, many were horrified at what happened to him, but everyone who saw him was even more horrified because he suffered until he no longer looked human. Why would he die? Why would he pay such a price? Why would he suffer till he no longer looked human? What a beating, scourging that must have been. The Archbishop of Paris assumed the pulpit of Notre Dame Cathedral. It was our joy to visit this cathedral just about 3 years ago. And as this bishop was visiting to preach a sermon, and any sermon was built around a single story, 30 years earlier, he told there were three young tourists who had come into this very cathedral. All of the young men were rough, rude, and cynical persons who thought that all religion was a racket. And two of these men dared a third to go into the confessional box and make a man-made confession to the priest. The two bet that the third young man did not have the nerve to do as they did. The third young man went into the confessional box and tried to fool the priest. But the priest knew that what the young man was saying was a lie. There was a tone of arrogance in the young man's voice, which could not go without notice. After hearing the confession, the priest told the young man his penance. And the priest said, very well, my son, every confession requires a penance, and this is yours. I ask you to go into the chapel, stand before the crucifix, look into the face of the crucified Christ, and say, all this you did for me, and I don't give a damn. The young man staggered out of the confessional to his friends, bragging that he had done as they did. The other two young men insisted that he finished the performance by doing the penance. The young man made his way into the chapel, stood before the crucifix, looked up into the face of Christ and began, all this you did for me, and I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. At this point in the story, the Archbishop leaned over the pulpit and said, that young man stands before you today to preach. That's the miracle of the cross. When you begin to understand the love on the cross, we want to change our relationship with God. We cannot remain the same anymore. We want God at the center of our lives again and again. Even the way of the scripture puts it so much. As a matter of fact, in verse 26 of chapter 27, it says, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered them to be crucified. And in verse 35, it simply says, then they crucified him. Church, you cannot appreciate why Jesus died unless you understand how he died. And in the next few weeks, we will discover the passion of the Christ as to how he died, how he was scourged. And at this time, church, I'd like for you to stand with me. I want every one of us today, as we look to the cross as we look to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He is the everlasting. He is the forever and ever. He never changes. Church, you need to answer these questions today. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? Why did he die? Why did he die for me? If we can find answers to these questions, church, I want us to know that we will discover truly what salvation is. This morning, if you need a prayer, wherever you are, probably watching us online or in this church today, you need Jesus Christ. You need the Lord as your Savior. You need healing and deliverance. I want you to raise your hands. I believe that prayer has no distance and that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or imagine. Father God, I bring before you this morning every man, woman, boy, and girl that bows in your presence today. I pray, dear Lord, those that need salvation, we thank you for the love that you shed on the cross, the passion of the Christ. I pray, mighty God, today, lead them to the cross. I pray for healing for those that are sick, those that need healing this morning. I pray for a miracle in Jesus' name. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for you are a great and wonderful God. We pray for deliverance for those that are oppressed in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for those that are unemployed. Lord, those, Lord, that need a job this morning. I pray, Father God, that you would open the doors of opportunity in the name of Jesus, I pray. And I pray, Father, all of your children will be blessed. And Lord, during this time, that you would help us to realize the love of the Christ who died for us on that cross in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, and we bless your name.
For more information about Faith Center Ministries International, call our offices on 031-464-5839. That's 031-464-5839. Or visit us at 341 Stella Road, Malvern.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.